question about the Bible? Do you ever wonder what we can know and understand about God? Or maybe you're struggling with an issue in your walk with the Lord? You need some biblical guidance? Well, you've come to the right place. Hello, friends. This is Open Line with Dr. Michael Rydell. Nick Moody, it's radio's Bible study across America. You hear it every Saturday morning. And if you want to be involved, then the phone number to get involved today is the same one every weekend, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. That toll-free number is the way for you to get involved in the program. And I hope that you would call today, whatever is on your mind. My name is Mike Fabares. I'm sitting in today for Michael Rydell, the voice you normally hear on Focal Point Radio. Hope you listen every day here on Moody Radio. Michael Rydell is out doing some very important things today, but I'm coming to you live across many of our stations here on Moody Radio, sitting in on this radio kitchen table program, as we like to call it, where we just sit here with an open Bible and your cup of coffee or whatever you've got to talk about the Bible, talk about God, talk about your spiritual life. I happen to be the pastor of Compass Bible Church way out in Aliso Viejo, as though you knew where that was, in South Orange County, California. Happen to be a graduate of Moody Bible Institute, and sitting right here on the campus today of Moody Bible Institute, it happens to be graduation day, sending forth a lot of graduates into the world to do God's work. And it's a great day here on campus, and I'm very, very honored to be here in the studios doing the work of answering your questions. Our phone number, again, if you want to get involved in the program, is 877-548-3675. Anything that's on your mind, let's hear from you today, 877-548-3675. Or you can send your question through our Open Line website. It's openlineradio.org, openlineradio.org. Just fill out that Ask Michael a Question section, and you can send us your Bible question, openlineradio.org. Now, we got a great production team, as we always have here at Moody Radio. Our Open Line program is only made possible by great people like our supervising producer, Trish McMillan, who is supervising just in the clouds somewhere here today, because Lisa Jempty is here, the maven from Michigan. She's keeping watch on everything here locally. She's in the producer's chair. She's the quarterback of the program. Now, Omar Mendoza, he's the one with the brain going to make sure everything works the way it's supposed to. Karen Hendren, she is answering the phones. If you call in, that's the great voice you're going to hear right away, and she's going to put you in the queue to get you on the program. Our phone number again, 877-548-3675. I hope you got your Bible. I hope you're ready to get involved in the program today. Even if you're just driving down the road, we hope that you're ready to think through the scriptures with us. And maybe if you have a question, you can just give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today. So many things going on in the world. I'd love to talk to you about them. We got plenty of calls already coming in. So let's get started here. Let's just go right to the phones. We're ready for that? Let's do it. Let's talk to Gordon. Gordon, you're on the air with Pastor Mike Fabares. How can I help?
Thank you. It's an honor to be the first caller. Hey, traditional teaching uses Hebrews 9:27 as appointed on the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment, to assert that the eternal destination is sealed and that there's no chance after death. However, when I look at the original Greek, the writer chooses krisis as an ongoing investigation or a non-final judgment rather than cremen, which he uses, and he could have used, which he used in 6:2. Now, Dr. Fabares, I'm pro-life, and my concern is the teaching that infant universalism, that when the infants die, that there's an automatic final judgment. It's a dangerous theological shortcut that has tempted many people to altruistic filicide. In other words, they are told by trusted theologians that if little Johnny grows up, he might reject Jesus, but if he dies before the age of accountability, he's guaranteed heaven. But I believe that that's not false, and I went to the original Greeks, and so my understanding, I want to find out if I'm right or not, my understanding is that this leaves open the possibility for the millennium, because krisis is an ongoing, it's not necessarily a final judgment. So my point is that if you use the correct translation of Hebrews 9:27, and by the way, the King James translates it right, it says judgment, not final judgment, we can tell these grieving people with handicapped children that no, killing your child is not going to increase eternal odds, and it's not going to guarantee heaven. They're going to get a fair shake. Even if we don't know whether it's a millennium, that's no license to give universalism for infants and make a false hope promise. But you know Greek better than I do, because you got the doctor. By the way, did you get my email?
I don't know. I didn't get an email today. I'm not sure, Gordon. Which email are you talking about?
Well, I emailed you the white paper that I wrote up on this, and I used three of the four email addresses for you, but I couldn't find the fourth one until it was too late. So,
was it on this very topic?
Yes, it was. And if it didn't get to you on those three emails, then you need to check your spam filters. But if you want, I did post my white paper on my blog where I did some positive news coverage for you guys. Is it permissible for me to give out the news blog URL
well,
or no?
When we get off the air here, just talk to our screener and our producer and just let me have that information. Be happy to read it. And
right.
Here's one of the exegetical concerns I have with just taking one word, certainly with the word that we are taking here, the word that we translate judgment. We want to be careful that we don't take one word and build an entire theology on the distinction, which I don't think, we can say a final judgment versus judgment and start to then build something completely on the basis of someone who is prior to the age, as you called it, of accountability, which once we get into the age of accountability or someone who doesn't know, as it's put in the book of Isaiah, doesn't know the difference between good and evil, we're into the area of a lot of it is speculative theology, and we're on shaky ground to make really definitive statements. Now, we do it based on the character of God, and so a lot of pastors make statements that I think are decent, and they're good, and I think they're helpful, but we need to be careful about being emphatic about these things. And so I think your concern I may share, we don't want to be just explicitly saying things with a definitive kind of voice when we don't have the passages that we can look at with the clarity that we have about saying to adults, hey, you reject Christ, there is no hope for you, and there is no second chance. And I don't just base that on Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I can base that on a variety of texts about the fact that Jesus said there's no crossing over from one place to the next after you die. But of course, all these passages, right, are about adults. Matter of fact, everything related to salvation in Scripture is about those who have a conscious awareness of where they stand before God and the things that they're being taught. Even in the Old Testament, they're brought together to hear the word, those who have understanding. That's a repeated statement in the Old Testament. So I'm happy to read what you've got, and maybe that would be the best thing for me is to be able to read your white paper, and then I can respond. And if you have your email on that, I will personally definitely respond to what you have. So why don't you, after we're done with this, talk to our producer off the air, let us know where that white paper is, and I will be happy to respond to it, Gordon, okay?
Okay, well, listen, thank you so much. Can I go ahead and continue to try to flesh out what I was saying?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Very important.
Sure.
What I'm saying is this, you took the words out of my mouth. A lot of preachers have used that Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once die and thereafter the judgment, and they add to the word final judgment, and the original Greek doesn't have final judgment in there, but it would not be a second chance because the baby's never got a first chance. Human judges can do non-final sentences, okay? They can move the date of a court date. Is God not at least as capable as a human judge? And I'm not saying that the millennium is a thing, but you and I don't know the date of the rapture, but that is not license to say the rapture doesn't exist, okay? You and I don't know whether it's the millennium or the rest of the dead, or they'll be in heaven and get their choice, but that's not license to say that there's a form of faith, I'm sorry, a form of salvation that bypasses faith. And furthermore, God would neither tempt nor is tempted, and if this were a way of salvation shortcut, he would have shown it to his prophets. So what I'm saying is that the very thing you were mentioning earlier, a lot of preachers have taken this one verse and built an entire theology and used Hebrews 9:27 and added to the word final judgment and used that to kneecap all the doctrines of faith, and therefore it tempts people that are unstable to kill their children, thinking that it's a shortcut when in fact it's not a shortcut. God is going to give the person a fair shaking. Maybe the deceased instance will be in the rebellion in Revelation 20, but they will get a free will, even if we don't know where it is. And so the very thing you described is what I'm talking about. And I'm amazed that I sent the three of your emails, and you haven't even received it.
Well, here's what I think you may be misunderstanding. I'm Mike Fabares. I'm not Michael Rydelnik. So maybe you've sent them.
I know who you are.
Oh,
Michael Rydelnik told me privately that the question was something he wasn't prepared to answer on air, and so I respected that because, you know, he told me to my face that it was one that he wasn't quite ready to
answer. Okay, so you've sent this to Mike Fabares? You've sent it to me?
You're Dr. Mike Fabares. You're not Michael Rydelnik.
Right.
I sent it to you at Focal Point Ministry.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I sent it to your screener. I'm sorry, I sent this question to a bunch of places. I'm not sure if you remember the Terry Schiavo case, but I'm the same Gordon Wayne Watts that almost won the case with a 4-3 loss in the Florida Supreme Court.
Yep.
Google Gordon Wayne Watts and Terry Schiavo, and you'll see that I almost won the case.
Okay.
And I didn't get any publicity because I'm a little guy.
All right.
I'm a conservative.
Gordon, I appreciate it, and I'm glad that we're talking on the same page here. And we will definitely, I will definitely respond, and I will read it, and I will respond. And thanks for that clarity. And it sounds like something we will deal with a little more detail, and maybe not the best thing to deal with exhaustively on the program in 2 or 3 minutes. But thanks for the call, Gordon. I give you my word, I will follow up. Okay, Gordon. Thank you for the call. The number, as you have heard, is 1-877-548-3675. We're going to take a quick break. We've got maybe a couple lines open here. We'll get to more of your calls here on the program on the open line with Dr. Michael Ray Delnick right after this quick break.
Evil regime in history rise to power in a nation full of churches? That's the sobering question at the heart of Hitler's Cross by Erwin Lutzer. With clarity and conviction, Dr. Lutzer examines how the German church was silenced and seduced and what it means for believers today in this time of growing anti-Semitism. Get your copy of this eye-opening resource with your gift of any size. Call 888-644-7122 or visit openlineradio.org. Everyone has questions about God, the Bible, and living out our faith. And that's why we're here on Open Line. We take your questions and provide answers straight from Scripture. But we couldn't do this without you. When you become a Kitchen Table partner, you're not only keeping this program on the air every weekend, you'll also receive exclusive benefits, like personal audio messages from me that offer biblical encouragement. Become a Kitchen Table partner today by calling 888-644-7122 or go to openlineradio.org.
Well, welcome back to Open Line with Dr. Michael Ray Delnick. I'm Mike Fabares, and we're going to go back to calls. Let's go to line three. Cale, you're on the line with Pastor Mike Fabares. How can I help?
Hello.
Hello.
My question is a pretty short question, but I don't know how heavy it's going to be for you.
Okay.
So the punishment for sin is eternal separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus paid everyone's punishment on the cross. How did Jesus pay everyone's eternal punishment in 3 hours?
All right. That's a great question. Cale, let's talk about one of your friends. Give me the name of one of your friends, one of your buddies.
Grayson.
Grayson? Okay.
He's my brother.
Okay, Grayson, great. Do you think Jesus is more important than Grayson?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's just say Grayson comes home from work and says he hit a coworker in the face and he got in trouble. And you say, oh, wow, that's not good. And then think, well, I wonder what kind of punishment he's going to get. And then you say, okay, different scenario. Grayson comes home from work and says, I hit my boss in the face. Oh, man, what kind of punishment he's going to get? Probably better, worse. Then he says, no, I hit a police officer in the face. Oh, wow, even worse. I hit a judge in the face. Wow, worse. I hit the governor in the face. Wow, worse. I hit the president in the face, right? You can see what I'm doing here. The more important the person, the greater the punishment. Now, let's invert it. What happened on the cross is the most important person in the universe, right, was punished. And that punishment then was able to be dispensed in terms of a payment for all the normal people in the world, because we are so normal compared to the infinite worth of Christ. So the concentration of the punishment, right, it was absorbed in someone so infinitely more important than Grayson or Cale or Mike, right? Or Omar or Lisa, so much more important, right? So his punishment in a matter of hours could pay for the eternal cost of all of our sin. And this is why we've got to stop thinking that Jesus is just a little more important than us. He's infinitely more important than us, right? He's not just man, right, who's happened to be good or perfect. He's God, right? He's eternal God. He's the God-man, Jesus Christ. So that's how his punishment has infinite worth, because he is an infinitely worthy individual. He's the God-man, Jesus Christ. Does that help at all, Cale?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. The number to call today, 1-877. Let me get that number. I should host this show every week, and then I'd know it. 1-877-548-3675. That's the number to call. Let's go to line 7. Sam from Virginia. You're on the line with Mike Fabares. How can I help?
Morning, sir. My question today is serving in the military the right place for a Christian today?
Okay, that's a great question. Let me change the question. Do you think serving as a police officer would be a good job for a Christian? Or how about this? How about serving as a dad who's ready to defend his family? Do you think that'd be a good thing for a Christian to be as a dad? Yeah, see, I'm just trying to illustrate the fact that, of course, it's a good thing for a Christian to do.